Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good Saturday morning from the Kia Studios. Nine floors up waiting for the sun to come up on a game day Saturday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you on this side of the glass. Greg is here. He's here. He's on the other side of the glass, but if you know him, he's got his track shoes on. And he'll be doing his best Carl Lewis imitation at some points during the show, and he will come in, and you will get to hear a voice. But here, yes, he's here because today is a big, big day for our station, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Something you've heard people talk about all week long is coming up later on today. Game Bowl, the fourth installment of Game Bowl, takes place later on today. 7 o'clock it gets started. Stars and Strikes on Roswell Road, and the entire crew will be there looking for you. Come out and enjoy the competition. Nothing else, come out and enjoy hanging with us. It's going to be a lot of fun, and hope you'll get a chance to come by and make that part of your game. Since this is a weekend, some people would say minus football. There is football this weekend, but some people would say this is a weekend minus football. We would disagree. There is football today. There's the Senior Bowl that happens later on today down in Mobile. And a lot of people like to watch this event to get an idea of what happens as far as the draft and who's going to go where as far as, you know, the teams for next season. Guys you may have heard about this week who really performed well during the workouts for the NFL general managers and the scouts who are all there this week. So there's a lot on the line for those guys to go out and perform well there today. And, of course, tomorrow is the annual Pro Bowl game. And I know you can't wait for that, right? It's in Orlando, by the way. Both of these games are in driving distance, you know, from where we live here. You know, one, you can drive down to Mobile. The other you can drive down to Orlando and check that game out as well. And all the stars who are not playing in the Super Bowl next week are in Orlando for that game. Had like a week of activities, a lot of different events that took place. Tomorrow we hope to be joined by Will Lutz. He won't join us. He's there. He's going to be playing in the game. And of course, he's a place kicker for the Saints, but he is a product of the area from Noonan, Georgia, and played collegiately at Georgia State. He's a pro bowler, so we hope to hear from Will tomorrow morning on game day. And what does the kicker do during Pro Bowl week anyway? You ever stopped to think about that? You probably hadn't. And quite frankly, neither had I. But since we're going to talk to a kicker tomorrow who's down there, what does a kicker do during Pro Bowl week? You know, I mean, it's kind of a light, easy week for most of the guys who are there anyway. I've always considered it like a paid vacation, especially when they played it in Hawaii. You know, you get to fly out there, take your family with you, whatnot, and you practice a little bit, make some appearances, hang out on the beach with your kids. You know, that's what I've seen players do for years until they started playing it back stateside. So you're in Orlando, so you can take your kids, hang out with Mickey. I guess, you know, what a lot of players would do. But what does a kicker do? That's the question. we're gonna have some fun with him. That's coming up tomorrow morning, so you want to make sure and be with us. News out of Athens. Speaking of out of Athens, James Coley, out of Athens. Had been the offensive coordinator for Georgia. Had been moved to a reassigned with the arrival of a new offensive coordinator in Todd Monken, had been reassigned as assistant head coach. His duties never really been ironed out, but I guess, you know, it's not time for the team to practice or anything yet. Still away before spring football. But before that could happen, exit stage left. Coley is on his way to College Station, Texas, to be on the coaching staff at Texas A&M. Jimbo Fisher. They've worked together before at Florida State. So he's going out there to be on this, be an assistant on that staff. And, you know, you may say, and while some people may be hot and cold on his decision-making and his play calling, his positioning of personnel and the things that they were called on to do at certain times and whether or not it worked or not, He was one of the strongest recruiters in the Georgia coaching staff. And that's another thing to think about. So you're losing somebody, and you may not have liked the way he calls some games, but he's a very strong recruiter in Kirby Smart's staff. So now he's moving on to Texas A&M. We'll go and work on the staff out there. And now Todd Monken, who's come on with that position as offensive coordinator, is the guy. How you feeling about that? Monken comes in, Coley's out, got a quarterback for a year that's going to work with you, Jamie Newman. Newman coming from Wake Forest. You a Georgia fan. How you feeling about that? Some change. You want to see some change. You want to see something different. You want to see the team reach that next step and be able to get back to the SEC championship game and win it possibly next time. You want to see this team continue the role that it's on as Florida is continuing to make some progress in the East as well. So before Florida becomes Florida again, you want to see Georgia go ahead and get and win the East again, get back to the championship game and take that next step and stay in the national championship conversation. That's where the team has been. You got to be in the conversation, don't you? Get a chance to play for it and win it to get the Dogs back into that Final Four next season. So some changes going on with coaching staff, and Coley is on his way to Texas A&M. He might be a part of the puzzle that Texas A&M needs. Fisher's team was expected to be a big contender this past season, and maybe this coming season will be more in line with the expectations for that team. Boy, the West is going to be a hot mess. By the way, Ed Orgeron got a big contract extension at LSU, right? He's now the highest paid state employee, I think, in Louisiana. Go Tigers. He earned that, very much so. Happy for him. Happy for him. But with Texas A&M supposedly on the rise, Alabama being status quo, LSU being what it is, I mean, they got to get a new quarterback and a few other places they got to fill. Don't leave out Auburn. Yeah, that West is going to be pretty hot and pretty competitive, you know, for the coming season in the Southeastern Conference. So we'll be sure and watch out for that. Golf. We're watching the golf tour because this is the first week that Tiger Woods is working. Worked pretty well for him for 69 first round, didn't work as well for 71 yesterday. He's playing Torrey Pines, a place he knows like his own backyard. He's won there 8 times. He's at 4 under par. That's 6 shots off the lead. Ryan Palmer is your leader at 10 under. Shot a 62 yesterday. Brant Snedeker is 2 shots back. Phil Mickelson and Ricky Fowler missed a cut. They're on their way home. Tiger, by the way, still tied with Sam Snead at 82 tour wins. And he's won at Torrey Pines 8 times. Plays there in about 3 weeks. He'll be at Pacific Palisades. He will play the old L.A. event. It's called the Genesis now. And that's coming up in about 3 weeks. So Tiger's picking and choosing the spots that he plays. But while he's playing the California stretch, plays some tournaments in some places that he is very familiar with. Hawks, rough going last night. They fall 140 to 111. OKC just pulled away in the third quarter. It was a game until the third quarter. About midway through the third quarter, OKC just found another gear. Just pulled away. Trae Young, our all-star, scored 26 points and had 16 assists, but so far he is 0-2 back in Oklahoma. Who says you can't go home again? I don't know. Rough going for him. Hawks are back at work. They're home tomorrow against the Washington Wizards. Also an eventful night for the NBA as Milwaukee played Charlotte in Paris. First regular season game in France. We'll get more into that. What are the implications of that? What do you think? Do you like that? Do you not like that? Is it a big deal? Kind of timely with the recent passing of David Stern, who was so big with the NBA being global and to play regular season game. And well-received, Giannis put on a nice show for the folks, 30 points, 16 rebounds by the Greek Freak. Milwaukee doesn't care where you play. Play in this country, play in another country, play in another continent, play on the moon. Milwaukee's just winning basketball games. We'll get into that. Also, yesterday, something that we knew was coming, but yesterday was all made official, Eli Manning announcing his retirement as a player of the National Football League. What a career, and obviously a family heritage. And he farewell. His number 10 is going to be retired. We've often talked about how rare that is, that numbers actually get retired in the league. But he is going after 16 seasons, two Super Bowls, Eli Manning leaving. And it's the same week that Derek Jeter goes into the Hall of Fame. We're going to talk more about that in the next hour. New York City, one coming, one going, two surely will enter the Hall. We'll talk about them a little bit more as we get started. We're just getting started on a game day Saturday morning. So glad you're with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you on this Saturday morning. So glad you're with us. Greg on the other side of the glass. He'll be coming back and forth as always. That's what he does. Just a reminder, later on today, Game Bowl. Annual paper football contest going on at Stars and Strikes. And on Roswell Road, and the Game Bowl kicks off at 7 o'clock. Got 128 contestants all ready to go for big cash prize money, plus appearances on Dukes and Bale for the winner. Going to have live DJ. Dukes and Bale will have their Hey Man Ale. Usually when I find that stuff, I take a picture and send it to them. But it's going to be there. There'll be a 30-second hot take table where contestants get a chance to show us they have the skills to be on radio. 30 seconds to give us their best take. So if you feel like you're good enough, you want to be there, go by the hot takes table, get your chance to sit in on the morning show with John and Hugh. Then we got the Papa Shot Contest. And how many times have you been going to a place and do that? Papa Shot Contest, test your long-range skills with the winner of the high score and getting a chance to battle Randy McMichael, Sports Jeopardy, on the midday show with Andy and Randy. Also a chance to win other great raffle prizes, including autographed Matt Ryan jersey, Julio Jones jersey, NBA All-Star Trey Young's autographed jersey, Pedro Martinez autographed jersey from Atlanta United. That's all coming up later on today. And matter of fact, all your crew will be out there. Let me see. John Chuckery is going to be there from 5 to 7. John and Hugh from 7 to 8. 8 to 9, Dukes and Bell. 9 to 10, Willie P. Jason Longshore. And 10 to 11, Andy and Randy. So if you come out anytime this evening, you get a chance to hang out with some of the crew from 92.9 The Game. We'll be there looking for you. Good time, good food, and let's see who wins Game Bowl. How do you practice for that anyway? You have to do special conditioning for that to be ready? That's something. And hopefully tomorrow we'll get to hear from one of the finalists here on our show tomorrow morning. Just find out what they did, what the training process was, strenuous exercise, concentration you have to have in order to participate in this event. So it's coming up later on today, Game Bowl, fourth annual, here for Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This week, the last couple of days, we saw the focus on New York City and a couple of the all-time great performers and athletes in that city. One, Derek Jeter, going into the Baseball Hall of Fame, along with Larry Walker. The vote came down earlier this week. No surprise, kind of bugs you a little bit that it wasn't a unanimous vote. There's always somebody, huh? Jeter, no doubt, a Hall of Famer, and for being the captain of the Yankees for so many years. The awards, the name is 14-time All-Star, 5-time World Series champion, World Series MVP. The list goes on and on and on. And, of course, he has his plaque there in Monument Park, and his number 2 has been retired. So much to not surprised at all that he was able to achieve that. They may call him Mr. November, Captain Clutch, whatever you want to call this guy. And a little personal thing, because I got to know him when he was just becoming a professional, living and working in Greensboro, and he was playing with the Yankees, a single-A team. What are you doing over here, man? We got Greg's busy raising.
Just do the show. Hey, people, I got to know about behind the
raising
scenes.
But you're raising the curtains and the blinds there, so people out in the street
can
see
that too, can't they?
They can hear it.
They can't hear nothing unless you bring it up.
They could hear that in the background.
Finish your thought.
I'm just talking about Jeter and having lived and worked in Greensboro, North Carolina, during that summer when he was playing his first season of professional baseball. And he was actually my neighbor. The whole team lived in the same apartment complex that I lived in. And so it was he and Jorge Posada and Mariano Rivera. They were all on that team.
Andy Pettitte?
No. Those guys were all on that single-A team together. And he was eating up that South Atlantic League pitching. He was batting about 330, 335. But he started making errors on routine plays. Just routine ball. And so the Yankees quickly dispatched somebody from New York and say, look here, son, we got you penciled in 2 years to be the starting second baseman in New York. And they did. They showed a roster what they thought would be in 3 years after that, and he was already penciled in as the bat to be the second baseman. We'll take you batting 250. But do you realize you cannot make routine errors on routine plays as a second baseman for the New York Yankees? You cannot do that.
Well, you got to be strong up the middle, short or second.
Absolutely. And that's the thing that's always been – the Yankees had that. When you talk about great Yankees teams, they had someone in that position. You go back to Rizzuto, or whoever you want to go back to that played, Bobby Richardson.
Look at you going back to the scooter.
Willie Randolph. You had guys who played that position.
That was a second baseman, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Here's the thing. Let me ask you a question. Because if you remember his career, you remember he was third on the totem pole of shortstops during his time. It was always A-Rod and Garcia Parra.
Yep.
Remember that? Our old boy from Georgia Tech.
Oh, yeah.
And Derek was just kind of like, you know, he, and again, back then, not seeking out any publicity. He was always respectful of Mr. Steinbrenner, which nobody else in baseball was. He was the only guy. But here's what
he got it, though.
Yeah, he did.
He understood.
What was his daddy? He was like a surgeon or something?
Something like that. It was with Kalamazoo?
It was the parenting.
Yeah.
But this is what I marvel at when I look back at him and you were talking about Eli. Those two dudes, being the quarterback and the shortstop or the captain of the New York Yankees, both of these guys combined nearly 20 years and not one speck of a controversy.
No.
How do you dodge that?
No.
Now, I get it with Eli. That's easy. His personality doesn't lend himself to going out and closing down clubs and showing up with a hangover and things like
He's not that guy.
But we've heard of Derek's escapades with various models.
Yeah. Or entertainers.
It's not just that. It's the fact that nobody talked after he broke up with them. He somehow left them in a way where everybody was still friends, allegedly. You know, because you ain't heard a peep out of anybody.
No. When it was done, it was just done.
That's amazing to me. In that
and not
market,
just that, but also around town. Just anywhere around town. You hear about guys now who can't go anyplace. Somebody's going to bump on them.
Well, you got social media now. He didn't have to deal with that.
No, not so much.
He didn't have to deal with that. And he refuted that old story about drop your phones off at the front door when you come in my house, things like that. He had his inner circle of friends that he kept when he came into the league. He did some things that should be textbooked for athletes when they get to the majors. But it's a little bit different now. Actually, it's a lot different. Because you can't step outside your house without somebody filming you.
No, that's true.
Anyway, that's the most amazing part of those two careers. And I think they, you know, just I don't even want to give that one writer any sort of air. We should just move on from him.
Isn't that something?
Listen, it's happened. So the argument before was that it never happened. Okay, now that it's happened, doesn't matter. First, you know, he's the first ballot Hall of Famer. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because who was the guy who got the highest vote total before Mariano? I mean, that's my point. You got to think about it. Yeah. It doesn't really matter, right?
Yeah.
But I think it was Griffey.
Okay.
But that number will be forgotten, you know, soon.
Well, it may play a while longer because of where he's from. Once we begin to talk about New York and all the press and all the everything that people talk about there. So maybe because
he ain't in New York
because
no more, though.
Well, not anymore. He's down there.
He's down there where they got no state taxes. Now, you can say what you will about him being an executive, but the script is still being written.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, he did some things and rubbed some people the wrong way and moved some players out. But, you know, we'll see because they're in our division, and we'll get a chance to see where that team is. They start building up and ramping up, too, as well.
Speaking of our division and the Atlanta Braves, there was a former Brave, now a former Brave, who had something to say this past week, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I wonder which one, though. There's several of them.
Right there.
Which one? There were a bunch of them. There were a bunch of them that were talking this week.
That's your job,
man. One in particular that pitched here last year. Doing some talking about that. That's Dallas Keuchel. We'll talk about that in a little later on. But Eli, obviously the two Super Bowl championships, the Super Bowl MVPs, four Pro Bowls, and the things that go along with him, Walter Payton, Man of the Year, and so many other awards that he earned and achieved. The back half of the career, maybe not so stellar, some struggles, but you got to also think about who was around him. During those times, I mean, compared to the players that were there early on in his career. You kind of saw that yesterday during the retirement when you saw the Michael Strahans and the players like that who came back to be around him for that day for his retirement announcement yesterday from the New York Giants. So that's the thing. Rather than try to extend the career and go and play in another city and look real odd and different in a different uniform at the end of his career, of course, Brother Peyton did that and still managed to get to a Super Bowl in Denver. But that type of offer apparently not being available to Eli, and so he calls it a career. Passing yards over 8,000, passing completions 4,060, 60.3 percentage. That's impressive as well. Numbers that will definitely get him to the Hall of Fame later on down the road, so we watch for that to happen for him as well. But there he is, Eli Manning, Derek Jeter, two guys who've been the toast of the Big Apple, obviously, and obviously on the same week, having big announcements to their names and to their careers. One leaving the team, one entering the Hall. Big news, obviously, for two players who really gave their all to perform each and every time they took the field, and especially in a city that can be like a big fishbowl for an athlete. They love their sports there in New York, their pro sports. And when they don't live up to expectations, the folks there will let you know it quickly. Don't worry about the media letting you know. The fans will let you know as well. But these two will always have a special place in the heart of the fans there as well for what they did. And, of course, Eli all the way back to Ole Miss, being there obviously part of the family, playing at the same place where his dad played as well. Always a special place for him as well, and being from New Orleans. So those two this week we reflect on, and we look forward to see Derek Jeter's announcement and his induction later on this summer. And then when Eli, we wonder what Eli's going to do. You know, it's kind of keen to see what he does between now and, you know, and the time that gets the Hall of Fame, some things you want to do. I mean, we'll see. I mean, does he get in the broadcast booth? You know, does he do some coaching? Does he just hang out with his family for a minute? You don't know what Eli's going to do.
What you mean, what he going to do?
What's he going
to
do?
This is the one time you can actually say this is the truth. Peyton Manning has to look up to see the money his brother made playing football. Eli Manning made more money than anybody in the history of the NFL between the lines. Now, we're not talking about Peyton and his insurance commercials and all of those stuff. Yeah. But when it comes to between the lines, what did Hammer say? Can't touch this.
Yeah.
So that's your answer. He's going to be spending that money and raising his family. And hopefully not have to worry about any kind of medical conditions down the road.
Yeah, that's what we get. Well, that kind of sums it up. What's he going to do? He doesn't have the commercial endorsement, but he still may get some commercial endorsements. Matter of fact, now he can probably show up in some commercials along with Peyton. Who knows? I mean, it could be a package deal. Watch and see if that happens. I think it will. Watch for that. All right, coming up next. Usually take a time to take a look at some high school, big high school basketball event coming up this week, coming up today in Gwinnett County. Coach Jesse McMillan, Norcross High School, going to join us next to talk about Peachtree Corners Invitational. Strong lineup there as we continue on this Saturday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. As usually, we talk a little high school hoops, and folks, we're closing in on the end of the regular season for high school basketball in the state of Georgia. Got one more week of regular season play, and today we got a big showcase. Got a lot of them back on Monday, King Holiday, but got a big one coming up later on today in Norcross. It is the Peachtree Corners Invitational, and joining us now on the waitforit.com hotline to talk about it is Norcross boys coach Jesse McMillan. Coach McMillan, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Always great catching up with you, and this is always special event. This is one of the, I won't say it's the last, but for some teams it's the last chance to play some competition from outside of your regular region or your section to get you ready for the postseason pushing the playoffs. But before we can talk about that, talk about where your team was last weekend and what you guys got to do as far as the MLK event you guys just had a chance to play in.
Oh, man, it was really a special weekend for us. We got the opportunity to go up and play in the Kevin Durant Martin Luther King Classic. It was the first one that Kevin and his family had organized. So we were able to go up to Washington, D.C. and play in the St. James Center, which is an amazing multi-sport facility right outside the D.C. area. We played Rock Creek Christian on Saturday and had a great game and pulled it out at the end. And then on Sunday, we and the other participating teams were allowed to go tour the African-American Museum and the Martin Luther King Memorial. So it was an awesome day, and the kids got so much more out of it than just basketball. It was really an amazing experience.
Amazing experience, really. I saw some of the pictures that were posted from some of the players. Mm-hmm. They seemed to really really enjoy that. But also a chance for some bonding, too. You said you pulled one out. Talk about what that does for you as a team.
Yeah, this late in the year, you're trying to find as many challenges as you can and put your team in as many as unique situations as you can. And we were playing a team, Rock Creek Christian Academy out of Maryland, that we didn't know much about at all, and our kids weren't very familiar with. So it was an opportunity to help us grow on the floor, and then just spending some time with each other and having team meals and spending some time in the hotel and traveling and being in a part of the country that a lot of them hadn't been before. It's just good for team camaraderie and chemistry, and just helping these young men grow as people as well.
Got some players that a lot of people are watching. I know you always stress the team, but you do have some players. I know T.J. Thor had a big, mm-hmm. big effort for you, and Josh Taylor as well. Tell us about the leadership that some of your seniors have been providing for you.
Yeah, so we lost a lot from last year's team through graduation and some other reasons, but it took a little while for this group to merge and grow together. But really, since Christmas, I feel like we've hit our stride, and guys are communicating well on the floor. We're playing some pretty good defense, and offensively, we've been much improved. So guys like JT and Josh Taylor are both seniors. They're both guys that are being recruited at a heavy level. Come on, Eskridge, Quincy Adam McCoy, people like that. They've done a really good job this second half of their senior years. I think they have some urgency and some desire to go out a certain way in their senior year, and it's starting to manifest itself on the court and in our locker room.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with Coach Jesse McMillan from Norcross High School. They're hosting the Peachtree Corners Invitational later on today. Four big games. It all starts at 3 o'clock. Coach, tell people who people are going to get to see if they come out to Norcross today.
Well, this is the 14th year that we've done this overall, and we've always kind of followed the same format of having top Georgia teams and top Metro Atlanta teams playing out-of-state teams. So we're continuing that this year and excited about it. We start off at 3 o'clock with St. Ann Vaselli out of Columbus versus Campbell High School, and then we roll into some of the Georgia out-of-state teams. So we start off at 4:30 with Langston Hughes and Winston-Salem Prep. Winston-Salem Prep is out of Winston-Salem, and they have won multiple state championships over the last couple of years. So we're excited to see their team play. And then Grayson High School, which is top 10 in most national rankings up here in Gwinnett, they play the 6 o'clock game versus Ramsey, Alabama. Ramsey was one of the top state championship contenders going into the season in Alabama. They took a couple of lumps early in the year as they got some of their football guys off the from the state football playoffs, but they've won, I believe, 8 of their last 9 and playing really, really well. So I think it's going to be a good challenge for Grayson. And then we round out tonight at 7:30 versus Cardinal Newman High School out of South Carolina. They're a program that's been to the event a couple of times and have always played well. They're guard-oriented. They're going to give us a look that we haven't seen a lot this year. We expect them to press us and get up and down the floor, and it's going to be a good test for us for sure.
Four big games that people don't want to miss on this Saturday afternoon. Talk a little bit about mm-hmm. Gwinnett County before I let you get away. You mentioned Grayson. You got Shiloh. You got some other teams that are playing really well. The road to the state championship in the state's largest classification definitely comes through Gwinnett County this year.
Sam, it's been some really, really good basketball this year, and Gwinnett County has represented as usual for sure. I mean, Grayson, when you look at rankings, is, like you said, one of the top dogs in the country. They played exceptionally well. I believe they're probably, maybe 22 or 23-1 right now, I guess, a national schedule. Shiloh High School is right behind them. Shiloh only has 2 losses all year long, and they're both to Grayson. Archer is also in that region and has played both of those teams tough. We're 21-2 overall here at Norcross versus a really good schedule. Buford High School is having a good year. There's just a lot of talent and players in Gwinnett County this year, and you expect a team from Gwinnett to go pretty far in the state playoffs again this year.
Yeah, things you want to see your team do now from this one and then going forward now, because you're a week away from tournament time.
Yeah, just always trying to improve execution and you know, be tougher on the glass, you know, being cleaner in transition. You know, at this point of the year, you know what your identity is. You're trying to maintain that identity and fix one or two small things that might make the difference in a big game. You know, just overall pleased with our attitudes and just our chemistry and camaraderie. It's been a really fun group to coach this year, and we've got two games left in the regular season, so we're trying to close this thing out strong.
All right, we're looking for that and watch you guys on the road down to Macon in the state finals. Coach, thanks so much for the time this morning.
Thank you.
All right, that is Coach Jesse McMillan from Norcross. The Peachtree Corners Invitational, four big games later on today at Norcross High School. Next hour, we're going to hear from Corey McCartney. We're going to talk about stuff, Major League Baseball, stuff with the Braves, that and more. But first, going to pause for a minute, have you get some cash in your pocket. Casting calls straight ahead on a Saturday morning here on Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99thegame.com. Folks, this is the first weekend. Some people say without football. We say there is football. There's the Senior Bowl today and the Pro Bowl tomorrow. College basketball kind of takes center stage, and where our basketball team's playing this weekend. Let's see. Georgia Tech is home. They're taking on NC State. 4 o'clock today. Tech now at 8-11. They've hit a bit of a skid here lately. And remember, NC State, that was the first game of the year, and the Jackets won that game in North Carolina. Georgia's home, 5:30, taking on Ole Miss. Georgia at 11-7 on the season. Georgia State is on the road at Georgia Southern. Ah, that's the battle of State, not Southern. All roads lead to Statesboro for this one. Georgia State at 13-7, Georgia Southern at 12-8. Honestly, folks, it's the battle for second place in the conference. Those two teams play today at 5 o'clock. Matter of fact, it's a twin bill. The women play, I think, at 2, and the men play at 5 in Statesboro. Mercer's at VMI playing the Key Dets at 1 o'clock, and Jacksonville is playing at Kennesaw State at 4:30. If you're an HBCU sports fan, if you follow HBCUs, there's a big game today in the Atlanta University Center, Clark Atlanta and Morehouse at 3 p.m. And anybody goes to this game, it's D2 basketball. But you know what? You better get there early or you won't get in. That's all I'm telling you. It's always that big when these two teams get together. But if you want to go something else with the HBCU flavor, earlier you heard the Grambling Band. They are in town for the Honda Battle of the Band. Starts at 3 o'clock. At Mercedes-Benz Stadium, they're at the final 8 bands. And the Grambling Band is here and the Florida A&M Band under the same roof. Now, I don't know how much the tickets cost for this thing, but that's worth your price of admission right there. You're just going to see those two. But there's more. The Tennessee State Band is here. Jackson State, Sonic Boom of the South is here. Hampton, just back from Rome, I think they went for a New Year's parade in Rome. North Carolina A&T, they'll feel right at home. They were just here for the Celebration Bowl. Benedict is coming over from Columbia, South Carolina, and Prairie View. Those are the 8 that will be there. But like I said, if you had Grambling in Florida A&M, you go there. That's, you're like, okay. You're thinking, but that's going to be, if you enjoy marching bands, if you enjoy HBCU flavor, marching bands, it's happening today over at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. If you go over there and check it out, it should be a great time. Always is. It's a big event, and bands look forward to coming and competing, and people look forward to going and hearing them perform. A couple of high school basketball notes. As we, you know, we talked with Coach McMillan, and we said the high school season is winding down and headed toward postseason. One more week of regular season play before you get into your region tournaments and then on to the state tournament along the road to Macon for the state championship. This week, a couple of local area players were named to the prestigious McDonald's All-America team. Game's going to take place April 1st in Houston. Walker Kessler, the big 7-foot center from Woodward Academy, and Sharif Cooper from McEachern High School. And both there, they're going to the McDonald's All-American game. Congratulations to both of those young folks as they're going to represent Georgia, represent the Metro Atlanta area, and go and participate in that game. So great for both of those kids. One from Woodward Academy, the other one from McEachern. going to go and represent us. Kessler is on his way, is set to attend North Carolina next season. Cooper is a team point guard at McEachern and will be attending Auburn next season. So good luck to both of them. Now, we heard on a newsflash that Trae Young is the first Atlanta Hawk who will start an All-Star game since Dikembe Mutombo. Since we mentioned Mutombo, just happened last night, he appeared on social media for a big big announcement, Dikembe Mutombo. You follow him on social media, at Official Mutombo. And Dikembe says, let me congratulate my son, Ryan Mutombo, for scoring 1,000 career points so far in high school. He's still a junior at the Lovett School, but he accomplished that last night. And salute to Ryan and proud Papa Dikembe. Proud of his kid, passing the 1,000-yard mark for his high school career with another year to go. We talked about All-Star Game. We talked about Trae Young getting that special honor this week. Great to Trae Young. We kind of hoped that it would happen. He had been leading the vote getting, and our very own Sean Tate had been really like encouraging everyone. And we'll have Deshaun joining us tomorrow morning, as usual, on Sunday morning, to have his take on college and the NBA basketball. Maybe let him talk a little high school, too, because he follows it all. But we talked this last week, hoping that everyone would get out and vote and get behind him. You know, and make sure and give this guy, Trae Young, the opportunity to represent the city of Atlanta, to represent the Hawks, and represent what's happening with the NBA in this city. There's a lot of the excitement that we have, and he's raising the eyebrows and getting the notice. He's one of those players that we talk about, people in other cities would drop money to come and see play, and he's one of those guys, and we have him here in Atlanta right now. So fantastic to have that happening with him and have him get that type of recognition. We want that to continue. More on the NBA at the top of next hour. We're going to talk about NBA, about his great accomplishment this week, and about the arrival of Zion Williamson. It seemed we waited forever for him to be healthy enough to get on the floor, and this week he did and played and played a couple of games now, and know what people think about him so far. He seemed like he was happy to be back out on the floor and giving a great effort up and down the floor. Big to see the big fella out there, but just want him to be healthy. Knows what he means to his team, and really potentially what he means future to the league as well. So you want to see him out there, and you want to see him performing at his very, very, very best. Hope you're going to follow us. We talked about the Hawks coming up tomorrow. They go back at work after dropping one last night. They're home against the Washington Wizards tomorrow, and you can hear it here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pregame at 5:30, and the tip-off at 6. They will be at State Farm Arena taking on the Washington Wizards, and hope they can get back in the win column. They got some difficult games coming up. They're going to have to go on the road to Toronto, and then they're going to be home against the Sixers. So some teams they have in the face, you want to see them capitalize against a Wizards team that they dropped one to recently up in Washington. You like to see them rebound and get one back here at home because then you have to go up and face the Raptors at their place and come back against the Philadelphia 76ers team that's loaded with talent. We just want to see this team get some consistency and get some momentum here, especially going to the All-Star break and on the backside of the All-Star break. Just to show that, you know, there's the talent and there is some maturity going along and some players who are growing. And we know there's awful lot of youth on this team. It has to be, you know, frustrating for the coaching staff. It may be frustrating for us to watch because we see signs of it. We see them doing great things, and we want to see them finish the fourth quarter. And that's something that kind of comes with time. So it's something we want to see. We don't want, you know, we're expecting to see a different team on the floor in the month of March than we've seen in the first half of this season, obviously because John Collins is back, but just because they've been together and grown together. And that's what we hope to see with this Atlanta Hawks basketball team. That's what I'm hoping to see with them. Like we headed for the ping pong balls again, but even if we are, let's get this nucleus great and strong, ready to add those other pieces we need and next year be in that contention for a playoff spot. That's what we're looking for. Speaking of playoffs, that's where the Braves have been. We're going to talk a little Braves and talk about this mess, Major League Baseball. Man, this sign-stealing scandal, far from over. Corey McCartney joins us next to talk about it some on Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99thegame.com. Let's welcome in Corey McCartney, talking Major League Baseball, talking some Braves with us this morning on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Corey, good morning.
Hey, Sam, how you doing?
This guy was playing here in Atlanta the back half of last season. What are your thoughts when you hear him make comments like that?
Well, I found it interesting that he would later go on to criticize Mike Fiers for talking about it because he's no longer part of the Astros organization. Well, Dallas Keuchel's no longer part of the Astros organization. So if we're talking about, you know, breaking some sacred trust of the locker room, I mean, isn't Keuchel even commenting on this when the other Astros players are staying pretty mum, the exact same thing? I don't know. I understand, you know, that there are some people who have some problems with Fiers having talked. And I, you know, someone at least, if you're looking for someone to have, you know, stepped up and apologized, you got that in some form with Keuchel. But it feels couched, though. It feels as though, well, that's what was happening at the time. I mean, this would be very much akin to Bonds and Clemens coming out publicly finally and saying, yeah, you know, we took PEDs, but that was the culture and the climate of baseball at the time. It had its moments of apologetic nature, but it also rang hollow to me in a lot of ways, too.
Yeah, I'm spending time with Corey McCartney. You can follow him also at Corey J. McCartney, but also at Talking Chop as he talks about things baseball and about the Braves. What else are you looking to see come out of this? Because I figured it's just going to be a matter of time before guys start singing and breaking rank and whatnot. And I'm not saying that's what this was with Keuchel, but we're going to get more of this before everybody heads to camp.
I don't know. Tom Crane, the owner of the Astros, you know, said that what his anticipation is for the team to come together at camp and offer, you know, an apology that way. And, you know, sort of think about Ryan Braun, and he did it at spring training. A-Rod, I think you're going to get a very much feeling as though a forced apology. You know, once we add the Red Sox element into this and the findings come out from that investigation, then you just got a whole other pool of players. A lot of big-time, big-name players that could, you know, be voicing their, you know, how they're going to approach it as well. But I think from the current Astros standpoint, you're going to see it play that way with Crane in this public apology. As the other guys, though, that are no longer part of that Astros organization, as those camps start to open up, I think it's going to be really intriguing to see how many of them discuss it. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of guys, you know, who are going to be put in the spotlight because of this. And, you know, I mean, frankly, you're going to have some alienated relationships out of this, too. I mean, none of these guys are under obligation to do anything. So it becomes a matter of how much do they feel about that bond of teammates and really kind of breaking that level of trust. I think this, you know, as much as we talk about the sanctity of the locker room, I think this is going to be a big test of that for a lot of guys.
Yeah. Keuchel says everybody. So when he says everybody, this means like all the teams that were in the playoffs that year? When he says everybody?
Well, I took that as meaning that changing signs meant that they all knew something was going on with the Astros. So, and I had, you know, heard other pitchers talk about this too, that you look at things that you were doing so well and you go against a team and all of a sudden it's not working and you kind of start to wonder, am I tipping pitches? Do we need to mix things up? So I don't know if it was widespread knowledge. I have heard that there were some players who wondered what was going on with the Astros for some time period before any of this came out. So it could have just been a retaliation move by pitchers knowing, as opposed to Keuchel almost making it sound as though others were doing it. I think it was retaliation for these pitchers and how they were approaching, you know, being on the mound against them.
Yeah, spending time on the waitforit.com hotline with Corey McCartney. You can follow him on Twitter at Corey J. McCartney. He's author, also the book, The Heisman Trophy, and also Tales from the Atlanta Braves Dugout. Also the baseball writers. You feel like you and your fellow counterparts got it right this week with the selections for the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I'm still a few years away from actually having a Hall of Fame vote, but you know, I don't know how Jeter finished one ballot shy of being unanimous. I'm not saying that he deserves to be unanimous over past guys like, you know, who weren't: Ted Williams, Joe DiMaggio, Babe Ruth, on and on and on, Hank Aaron, Greg Maddux, Chipper Jones, but somebody made a story out of them for themselves. So when the votes become public in a couple weeks here, it'll be interesting to see if whoever said they did not think Jeter was a first ballot Hall of Famer made their vote public. I think there's going to be a lot of backlash. This could end up just being somebody who wanted to make a story of themselves. I hope that's not the case, and I hope they own up to it because, you know, after Mariano Rivera last year, I think we all thought for sure Jeter was going to be there too.
Yep. Really, 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 really thought that. Quickly, you alluded to some stuff with Clemens and Bonds, and the fact that their number tends to creep up each and every year. Do you see something happening with them? When A-Rod comes on, does that change something, you think?
You know, I think from my perspective, you know, if I were voting now, I'd have him in. You know, I mean, regardless, if you want to say before we know they were doing anything, they were already, you know, if they something horrible would have happened to them, they probably would have been Hall of Famers at that point anyway. You know, I think you can put whatever, you know, whatever notation you want to on their plaque. You want to say that this happened, that there was clouds of suspicion, you know, during the steroid era. But then again, I mean, if these guys haven't owned up to it, I think that's a disservice to them too. I think if I had a vote now, I'd be putting them in. I mean, it's just undeniable their place in the game. I think they need to be part of the collecting of the story of baseball to be told. You know, and frankly, I mean, if it goes into the hands of the era committees here in a couple of years when they fall off the ballot, if they get that far after 10 years, are those guys going to put them in their peers? I feel this is all a case of baseball not wanting to make a stance, and they've put it in the writers' hands. I think ultimately, if I had to say, I think they both would get in, and probably A-Rod when he gets to that point as well.
Spending time on the waitforit.com outline with Corey McCartney. Before, you know, we got to talk a little Braves with you while we're here. Third base, you know, that's an announcement that kind of broke our heart a few days back with Donaldson choosing to go to Minnesota. But thoughts about what the Braves now will do in the competition that we look to see if things stay as they are for third base when they go to camp.
I mean, I think you have to look at Johan Camargo and Austin Riley and think that that combination can really get this done. I mean, think about 2 years ago when Jose Bautista shows up. You know, this is a guy that, similar to Donaldson, that Alex Anthopoulos had a past relationship with when they were with the Blue Jays. And, you know, he brought him in and, you know, it didn't work out. And they asked Camargo to show he was an everyday third baseman, and he performed really, really well. And then what did he get for his efforts? They bring in Josh Donaldson the next year. So I think, you know, from Camargo's perspective, maybe he didn't have a great year last year. He wasn't nearly as in great a shape as he was the previous year, and the play showed it. You know, the reports from Anthopoulos, we talked to him Monday after the Marcelo Zuna signing, is that he's being told that Camargo's in great shape. If you look at the projections for him and Riley, and I know Riley, you know, struggled at times after that torn pace that he was off to, they're forecasted to have 43 home runs between the two of them. Donaldson, meanwhile, is projected to have 36. I know these are just projections, but I think if those two can combine for that kind of an output at third base, they're not going to make people forget having Josh Donaldson in that lineup. When you add in Marcelo Zuna as that bat behind Freddie Freeman, I think this could be a really nice positive thing for them to have those two young players, guys that can really perform well at third base.
You want them also to do well defensively, because I constantly tell people one of the keys of the Braves last season was that infield was pretty airtight, and Donaldson was a big part of that.
He was, but, you know, to a man, I mean, you'll hear people within this organization say Johan Camargo is the best infield player in this organization. I mean, this guy can absolutely pick, and I think for them to get him a little bit more time, a little bit more confidence, because I think last year shook his confidence. You did not see the same guy that we saw the previous year, and Riley does need to get a little bit better there, and certainly he was done no favors being shoved in the outfield for the first time in his career last year. So I think with that situation a little bit more sorted out in terms of their place in it in the outfield, I think you're going to see better seasons for Riley and Camargo combined.
If those guys are at third, who's your starting outfield for this team?
Well, I mean, certainly you're going to have Marcelo Zuna in left field, and, you know, Ronald Acuña Jr. Alex Anthopoulos told us Tuesday night after the Zuna signing that those two were your everyday outfielders. Then you're going to have a combination of Ender and Ciarte. Obviously, Nick Markakis and Adam Duvall, you know, you're going to see, I think, Ender, you know, against righties, he's just a better defender than Markakis at this point in their career. And against lefties, you're going to have Adam Duvall, because he just killed lefties at the plate. He's a Gold Glove finalist on his own. So I think you have the potential there with, you know, with Ozuna, Acuña, and Enciarte to have defensively one of the best outfields in baseball.
Also, we picked up King Felix. What if anything, can we get from him? We know what he did up in Seattle. I guess we're taking a flyer on him to see if he's got anything left in the tank. What would be the best-case scenario for that?
Yeah, man. I mean, absolute legend, obviously, in Seattle. And, you know, I was told by one Brave this week, they think there's definitely still some innings left in that arm. The fastball's just dropped so much. I mean, just averaged around 90.4 miles an hour these last couple seasons. I mean, that was a dominant pitch that he had. You know, and the changeup, because of the lack in variations there, that once dominant changeup of him has really lost its value as well. But remember Anibal Sanchez, he redefined himself when he got to Atlanta. became much more of a secondary pitcher, secondary pitchers kind of pitcher.
Right.
And you know, I think if we see him do that, if we see Hernandez go that route and be a little bit more crafty, and now maybe Atlanta allows him to do that. He's away from all that he accomplished in Seattle. If they get that out of Felix Hernandez, I mean, this could be much more than just a feel-good story for spring training.
We'll be watching for that. Corey, thanks so much for the time. Always good catching up with you.
Thanks, Sam.
All right, that is Corey McCartney. You can follow him on Twitter, at Corey J. McCartney. All right, back with more and talk a little thing that's going on down under. Next, the sports continues on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Moving on to the fourth round, that is Coco Gauff, 15 years old, and she was able to beat Naomi Osaka, the defending champion of the Australian Open, one of the big stories, one of the many stories taking place down under this week and the first week of the Australian Open, the first major tennis tournament of the year. While one was showing that they're ready to be on the big stage once again, one that we're used to seeing on the big stage has departed. Serena Williams leaving in the third round match, lost that in five sets. Afterwards, obviously disappointed, but ready to move on to what's next. Of course, she won a tune-up event before the Australian Open, so you get her game tuned up, and first time she's won a tournament since becoming a mom. And so she leaves as Coco Gauff takes that next step, and people remember her taking on Naomi Osaka at the U.S. Open. The scene afterwards, where Osaka was the older player and having to kind of, you know, confident, console her. Well, that wasn't happening after Coco won this last time. They did give a hug. He gave a little hug there. And just remember, these two are going to be seeing each other in the future, down the road, a lot more in tennis. So Osaka's out while Coco moves on. Her next is fellow American Sophia Kennan. She's the 14th seed. That's who she has up next. Allison Risk is still there in it as well. American is still in. She has Ashley Barty, the tournament's number one seed on the women's side. On the men's side, big blow for the men. Early today, Taylor Fritz goes out from the Americans, and John Isner leaves in the second set of his match against Stan Wawrinka, retired. He lost the first set and was down 4-1 in the second, and wasn't able to continue in the match. So John Isner is done down under at the Australian Open. Nick Kyrgios just finished a five-hour marathon, and he's winning. He's one guy, if he keeps it together, when I say together, just keeps it together upstairs, you know, and thinks through the matches, I think he's a guy who's definitely capable of playing into the second week. But the story we talk about is Coco Gauff. And you heard the comments she talked about, what's my life? She was very human. And the thing I like about her, obviously, you know, she spent some time and grew up here in Atlanta, early childhood here until she was like 8-9 years old and moved to Florida. And, of course, her father played basketball at Georgia State University. And both parents are there. And now she's got a great support staff around her at 15 years old. She handles the media very well. And someone who's worked in the media and covered a lot of teenage prodigies and seen a lot of teenage prodigies, you know how some handle the media. And you go all the way back to Chris Everett or maybe even Tracy Austin. But the media wasn't then what it is now. Tracy Austin comes bouncing out on the court in the U.S. Open and everybody goes, wow, this little teenage girl out there beating these grown women. Coco is so much different, and she's really been up to it. She showed she was 15 years old, though. It was the first time playing at Rod Laver Arena. She says, yeah, I kind of like to meet him. He said, well, yo, we can probably line that up for you. He says, great, can I get a selfie with him? I mean, she's just being very 15. She's being a 15-year-old, which is to me was pretty cool. Even though she's focused and she's out there and she just beat the defending champion, someone that she lost to in New York, she had the presence of mind to think, wow, yeah, I'd like to meet this guy. And can I get a selfie?
15 like years. Last year at Wimbledon when she ran in, when Roger Federer stopped signing to go over to her.
Yeah, yeah.
That was special.
Yeah, but she's being, Coco, don't change. She's being, for a moment, you're still 15.
Two things. One is we got to do a little public service announcement. We got to let folks know coming into Midtown, you can't get down 15th Street. It's blocked off.
Again today.
Yeah. And they're doing construction here at Colony Square. So you can turn, if you're heading north, you can turn west. You can go toward where, between the High Museum and Woodruff Center and all that. But you can't turn into
Not on 15.
Nah, you can't turn right on the 15th.
You got to go up to 16.
And it even if you do that and try to come back around, you got trouble.
Yeah,
because
really,
they're putting something on top of the W Hotel, like air conditioning units, up on the top of that. And so, yeah, that's all messed up. The other thing I want to ask you is,
yeah,
I know that the money at the majors, or is it all of them or just one of them where the money is equal for men and women?
I think it's that way at most of them.
For
now.
Most of them.
Well, yeah.
Okay. What is going to be the case moving forward? Because between the Williams sisters and now we got Coco and Naomi, and the men have been on the back burner as far as the tennis world, with the exception of Nadal and Federer.
Nadal, Federer, and Djokovic.
They're on the exiting stage left.
No, they're not. They're winning.
Dude, they're not going to be here for the next 10 years
dominating.
Okay?
But right now, they're winning everything.
The people that have dominated have been on the women's side, and it looks like that's going to be the case moving forward. My point is there is no better time for women to grab that money that they feel like they haven't gotten at these, for lack of a better way to put it, lesser tournaments.
Yeah.
You know? I don't like calling Indian Wells a lesser tournament, but
they get a pretty good check at Indian Wells.
Exactly, they get a good one there. BB&T, is that going to stay BB&T? Is there going to be the Truist?
It's the Truist.
It's going to be the Truist.
Well, I mean, right now it's an all men's tournament. We just have the one women's match.
Right, but is what I'm saying is the future of tennis seems to continue to stay, or will continue to stay, on the women's side. All the dudes that we thought were coming up, I was so hoping for the next 5 or 10 years I was going to be able to continuously say Jack Sock. That's a great name.
You can still say it.
Yeah, but I ain't going to be talking about a winner, though. Isner and those guys, they don't move the needle. They just don't.
Isner's been out there. He's been the top American for so long, and so you wouldn't for somebody else to come up and really step into that spot. But the top three right now are still the guys at the top, and it looked like there's no let up. Maybe some with Federer, but Djokovic and Nadal, them dudes are rolling up there right now. We'll see if anybody can knock them off. And you know your next major is the French. So you know what's happening on clay. You know, Nadal,
the Popeye arm is going to be showing up.
Right.
So Nadal, you might as well just give Nadal a trophy now. But my bigger point is this. You see women having the audience for the next, 5, 10 years or so, it looks like. Because if people were going to gravitate toward Djokovic that don't follow tennis, they would have by now. Because, again, Nadal, Federer, they are on the back nine. They're in the 17th hole of their career. Okay, they might have one or two tournaments left, but they're on the way out. Djokovic is the man. He just doesn't – he doesn't have that it. It's like when Ivan Lendl was number one player in the world. There wasn't that, warm, huggy feeling, I've got to gravitate toward the TV to watch this dude. So I just feel like there's going to be an opportunity for the women who have been complaining about paychecks equal to men. This is their opportunity to get it. And with Serena being now maybe a more of a spokesperson for the women's side, they might get it with her. She could be the Oprah of tennis.
Some people may say she already is. But that's the thing. You have that, but you have this young meteoric phenom, I think that's what the women have when you talk about Coco Gauff. You have this young, and she's American. I think that's the other thing that you have, this young meteoric phenom that right now just seems to catch the enthusiasm of everyone and seems to be so much fun to watch. Like I said, her next matchup is against Sofia Kenin. And right now, although she's not seeded in this tournament, her ranking has now climbed over Venus Williams when the next rankings will come out. That's the Monday after this tournament. And how can you say she's not someone to watch as a contender when you take out the defending champion? That's what happened. We'll talk about that some if you want to in the next hour. Also in the next hour, talk about the NBA. The NBA lands in Paris. The long-awaited arrival of Zion. And Cody Chaffetz from Fox 5 spent some time at the Senior Bowl this week. Sports Radio 99 The Game. 99TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you. Nine floors up in the Kia Studios. And yeah, a little cloudy outside. Nine floors up. Hope all is well wherever you are around the metro Atlanta area as things kind of clear up. A little foggy overnight around much of the area. Hope it is clear where you are and you're not having any trouble in your commute. If you have to be up and around this morning, if you happen to go to work today, or if you worked overnight and you're headed for home, or if you're just passing through the city and you're listening to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, thanks so much for taking us along with you. And we hope if you're going to be around today, why not stop by Game Bowl? It's taking place later on today at Stars and Strikes on Roswell Road in Sandy Springs. 128 competitors are ready to go. They got those fingers all ready to go. You know, I don't know what you do to work out to get ready for it, but they've done it to get ready for it. And we're all going to be there. We hope you'll come out and join us. It's going to be a lot of fun. Great time, great food, great refreshment, if you want to. All starts at 7 o'clock. The winners, of course, got cash prizes, opportunities to appear here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The winner gets $1,000 plus an appearance on Dukes and Bell. So that's so much that's happening there. We got a prize for second place, third, and fourth. Live DJ going to be there with some music. Dukes and Bell will have their Hey Man L on site. Did I say that right? Hey Man. They will have that on site for you all. A lot of those cans with their pictures on the side of it. It's very, very good. If you want to take place in the Papa Shot contest, test your long range skill, the Papa Shot tournament with the winner, high scoring, getting a shot to battle Randy McMichael in sports trivia on the midday show with Andy and Randy. Or you feel like you have what it takes to give a 30-second hot take? Well, there will be a 30-second hot take table. Contestants get a chance to show us that they have the skills to be on radio. 30 seconds to give us the very best take. One chance now. Hey, no do-overs, no mulligans. If you do it well enough, you can get the chance to be on the morning show with John and Hugh, doing Hugh's World next week. So some things we're offering you the chance to do today at Game Bowl. On-site broadcast schedule, you're there at 5 o'clock. You're going to get to hang out with John Chuckery. He'll be there from 5 to 7. John and Hugh from 7 to 8. Dukes and Bell, 8 to 9. Willie P. and Jason Longshore from 9 to 10 and from 10 to 11. Andy and Randy, so if you come out, you're going to spend the evening with us. Game Bowl is a big event for Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and we hope you come out and have some fun. Stars and Strikes. Look
forward to seeing you. Very good. Very good. Willie P., of course, following you.
Yes.
In an hour or so.
In less than an hour.
Let's try this real quick.
Okay.
For the folks that are going out there.
Okay.
I'm going to put you on the spot. So we're going to ask you a sports trivia question and see how you do. Come on, man. Nobody got a gun hanging at you. I'm just saying. Just give it a try, all right? You know, walk up, because people are going to walk up to us today. They're going to be put into a hot seat and ask some questions, right?
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it just said, sports trivia. So let's see how you do on this one. And I thought of this one because I was watching Tiger yesterday.
Okay.
And out at the, was it Farmers International?
Farmers International.
Open or whatever it is.
We are Farmers.
Cha-ching. They had, walking around, checking it out, was David Wells.
Ah.
Former Yankees pitcher.
Yes.
Who, by the way, is always out in Lake Tahoe and loves talking to me.
He's one of you guys.
David Wells is known for doing one thing with the New York Yankees, and that is pitching a perfect game.
Okay.
Can you name the other pitchers, and there are two others, who have thrown a perfect game for the New York Yankees? There's only three.
We just lost one not too long ago, Don Larson.
Very good. That's
okay.
One.
Okay. Now I'm kind of Pettit?
Nah.
No.
Ah. When you were a little kid, you went to the certain truck came down your street and you ran after it to get a what? The truck came down the street and had a little doodly doodly doodly.
Oh, the ice cream man.
And ice cream sits in what?
Oh, cone.
Thank you. Controlling the board stays with Mr. Crenshaw.
See, you. See, you do that. You would do that.
There
see,
you go.
See, you would, and only Greg would do that to me. Like I said, folks, from the outset of the show, he has on his track shoes and he comes back and forth and he does that to me from time to time. Because this weekend, I'm on one side of the glass. He's on the other side of the glass. But see, in case you didn't know, in case you missed it, a couple of weeks ago, we were reunited on Saturday mornings here on this side of the glass. And it's been a while. So people are getting used to having us back with our hijinks and madness on Saturday mornings. And then we're slowly getting back into it and bringing about some new things. Last week, we really had something new. We had somebody up a tree. Well, he wasn't really up a tree, but he was talking about being up a tree. It's the thing we talk about. This is something we will have from our show from time to time. Just some different things on Saturday morning. Atlanta Hawks had a tough time last night. Talk some NBA. Falling in OKC, and they were hanging with these guys, and then all of a sudden, in the third quarter, OKC just found another gear and just pulled away. Final score, 140-111, as the Hawks fall on the road to OKC. Trae Young is now 0-2 when going back to play in Oklahoma. This is where he went to school. Lost last year, now he lost this year. He had 26 points and 16 assists in a losing effort. Now 0-2 when coming back home. And let's see if he can get his team to regroup as they are home tomorrow evening against the Washington Wizards. And we'll have that game for you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pre-game at 5:30, tip-off at 6 o'clock. That is Hawks and Wizards tomorrow here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Elsewhere around the NBA, NBA playing in Paris. First regular season games in France. More going global for the NBA. And who goes there but the Milwaukee Bucks and one of the team's biggest stars, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Milwaukee wins the game 116-103, and the Greek Freak did not disappoint. 30 points, 16 rebounds in front of a big, loud, enthusiastic sellout crowd. What does this mean? Mean now we're going to have more games in Paris? Or what's the next destination for the NBA? And you feel like they can do that because the players – they come from around the world to be a part of the NBA and the team that is global. And so you wonder what's next now that they've been successful in a regular season game. And it seemed like it doesn't kind of matter. It didn't bother Milwaukee very much. They seem to win wherever they play and whenever you play. And you can start your game out in the middle of 285 probably with those guys right now. They're just that hot. It doesn't really matter who they're playing or where. That's the result you're going to get most of the time when you go up against that team, and they delivered last night big time on the road, out of town. So it's huge to see them continue to do that. One of the hottest players. Of course, they wanted to see what was going to go on with Giannis Antetokounmpo in that game, and sure enough, he did not disappoint big time. Also, the thing that happened this week, the other big thing with the NBA this week, was the arrival of Zion Williamson. And we waited for a time for him to play. We waited and waited, wanted to see when he was going to get an opportunity. He did against San Antonio Spurs. He got to play 18 minutes in that first game against the Spurs. Had 22 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 8 of 11 from the field. So good first night, 18 minutes, get in. Of course, the fans wanted to see more, but just happy to see him out there in the mix with that team. So last night they played against the Nuggets. Do the Pelicans, and he gets to play a few more minutes. Zion plays 21 minutes. Let's get 15 points. 7 of 9, very hyper shooting. He tried a three-pointer, didn't make that one. It's 4 for 4 three-pointers in the first game. He's back against Spurs, but not last night. 6 rebounds, a steal, and a block shot. So Zion Williamson continued to get his legs back out underneath him, back out playing in games, all the practicing and work he has to do, all the rehab he's had to do to get in position to do it. And the league has really waited for some time. He wasn't back in time for the Christmas Day matchups, which obviously the Pelicans were in one of those games. So that was a downer for a lot of basketball fans. And so here he is now, healthy and playing, and people get a chance to see him in limited doses. You know, eventually they'll probably expand the time and give him more time to play and give him more time to expand and expand his role and see how many minutes would be realistic for him in games through the course of the season. But for now, that's what you get. 21 minutes, 15 points, 7 of 9 from the field, 0 for 1, 3 points, 6 rebounds, a steal, and a block shot for Zion Williamson, as he is now 2 games into the season, trying to catch up with everybody else and what they're going to do. Of course, the team's coming up. We talked about the Hawks and what they were doing. They're home tomorrow night. They got some tough games coming up after this. They go to Toronto on Tuesday, play there. Then they're back Thursday night taking on the Philadelphia 76ers. So things are pretty challenging for our NBA team right now. You know, we'll see how our young talent continues to round into shape. That's the thing you watch now with this team. As we head for the All-Star break, we got an All-Star playing in the game. You got John Collins back, and he's fully, you know, back into the team, and everything is going. You want to see your young talent have a different kind of play and play at a different type of level after you get past the All-Star break. That's what you hope to see from the team. Hope to see that from Cam Reddish, DeAndre Hunter. You want to see those guys, you know, get used to being NBA players. It doesn't just happen. Some people think you step right off the college court and if you're a star in college, you're automatically a star, you know, in the league. Doesn't necessarily work that way. Think about Trae Young. Think about how frustrating it was to watch him the first half of last season. And some nights he'd go out and he'd score. Some nights he'd go out and he wouldn't score very much. And he'd have some struggles. But it seems like as time went on, he kind of figured it out. It really worked. He really worked hard. And in addition to being extremely gifted, and especially having that gift when it comes to assistance, passing, his vision, the court, it's incredible. But the work he put in was the amazing thing when you think about Trae Young. And so we look to see that happen as well for some of the young players that have been added to the Hawks this year. And just see a team with some momentum. That's what we want to see. Going into the month of March, we want to see this team play well and show us what they're really capable of and show us what we had hoped we would see early on in the year. But we want to see it now as they build to a great finish. I think that's something that we look forward to with this Hawks team and what it attracts as far as the coming year. This team is back in the lottery. What pick will they get the chance to select? And where will that player fit in? What will his role be with this team going forward? We're close, folks. We're not that far away. I mean, you look at the standings right now, and it doesn't look good. I just feel like we're a lot closer than the standings say as far as the Atlanta Hawks. Hang in there with them. Just hang in there with them. All right, folks. Some of you said there's no football going on. Oh, yes, there is. There's some football going on in Mobile today. Coming up next, we're going to hear from a guy who spent some time in Mobile, keeping a look at some of the young talent and keeping an eye on the Falcons. Cody Chaffetz from Fox 5. Next up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. All right, folks. Remember, today there is football. Yes, there is. There is football in Mobile, Alabama. It is the annual Senior Bowl, the Reese's Senior Bowl, which a lot of players getting a chance to work out all this week with under the watchful eye of NFL coaches and administrators, front office people are doing some early pre-combine interviews, if you will, with some players who are NFL hopefuls and get a chance to get to know them before they get on with the draft selection process and the pro days. It's a chance to get to know some of the players in a different environment. And the players get a chance to see what they can apprehend and retain in a short period of time to show their capability of playing at the next level. And one guy who was down there this week keeping an eye on him from Fox 5 Sports here in town is Cody Chaffetz. Joins us now on the waitforit.com hotline. Cody, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sam.
Great catching up with you. What did you see this week down in Mobile?
This is my first time down there. I'd never been to that event, and I don't know that I was prepared for how crowded it was. I mean, you look left, and it's Belichick talking with Mike Mayock, and you look right, and it's, you know, I had agents all over the place. It was just a big event, and you got to see a lot of players, so I can understand why everybody goes down there.
They really do, and it's the first opportunity for a lot of players to get a chance to get that type of exposure and really work out at a different level and know that, they're the next phase. They're getting to start to get a chance to impress some people to try to make a living.
And they're getting coached for the first time by NFL coaches. So no matter where you went to school, everybody's kind of on the same playing field there. You had the Lions coaches staff doing one team and the Bengals coaching staff doing another. And that was what a lot of these players said. It's a different kind of coaching. There's a lot more detail involved when you get the NFL coaches yelling at you.
Well, the coach is going to yell at these guys. Well, you know what? They have to be ready for that as well. Thoughts about that? And you saw some local products, guys who played their high school ball in the area down there too.
Yeah, there's only one guy from Georgia State, Georgia Tech, or Georgia. But at the same time, there was a dozen guys from Metro Atlanta, which was really interesting. It was fun to see a lot of these guys who, you know, some of them we hadn't seen since their high school days. You had the guys from, you know, the big-time programs, Jabari Zuniga, Jonathan Grenard from Florida, but you also had some guys from smaller schools. Kyle Duggar, who, I'll be honest, I don't remember from high school at Whitewater High School, went to Lenoir Rhine. So he's in Division II, but he's worked his way to get an invite to the Senior Bowl and is now showing off for those scouts. He's one of those guys that everybody had their eye on, could get drafted here this year. Some other guys that, you know, went junior college and we lost track of, and then like guy like Antonio Gibson, who went to Eagles Landing High School and then, you know, went to junior college before he could get to Memphis, and now they've got him at running back for the South team today.
That's remarkable. That's remarkable when you see guys get on that path and they end up. And you know what? You do what you have to do. A lot of people would love to be that five-star guy who goes to the big-time program in the big conference and plays well and get there. But these guys are proof that there are different paths you can take, and you can end up in the same place like in a week like this one.
Certainly did. And I talked to Josiah Coatney from Chapel Hill High School, is another one of those guys who went the junior college route. I said, is it like what we see on Netflix with Last Chance U? He said, oh, yeah, it's just like that. He said it takes a special kind of guy to get through the junior college experience and to get back. He ended up at Ole Miss as defensive tackle. It feels like he's, you know, matured a lot and playing better football than he has his entire career.
Spending time on WadeFolk.com hotline this morning with Cody Chaffetz from Fox 5. You can follow him. He is social. He is on Twitter at Cody_Fox5, Cody_Fox5. What about our home folks? See any folks from the Falcons around?
There was definitely some Falcon scouts down there. He had offensive, defensive line coach, and then Thomas Dimitroff was down there on Tuesday and Wednesday for those practices. We talked to him a little bit. One of the things he was keeping an eye on, the offensive and defensive lines, you remember last year, that's where they got their two first-round offensive linemen, Chris Lindstrom and Caleb McGarry. Last year was where he got to see those guys work together on the same side of the line, and that's what he liked so much, and that's why they ended up drafting both of them. So he had his eyes on the lines of scrimmage. He also mentioned the North group has a big, tall, wide receiver group. And so, you know, with them losing a big, tall guy like Mohamed Sanu, maybe they're trying to fill that with one of these big, tall receiver, Denzel Mims from Baylor, who dog fans may remember from that Sugar Bowl game, one of them. And then another local guy, Antonio Gandy-Golden, a wide receiver, 6'4". And he's another small school guy, went to Liberty University, but another big receiver that was on the field this week.
Guys making the most out of it. A lot of people want to know what the Falcons do and what they were thinking of, and the fact that Thomas Dimitroff, well, all the general managers, I think, go to this event, because you think about this week. It's the week before the Super Bowl, and you have this and you have the Pro Bowl. I think I'd rather be in Mobile. I mean, I know a Pro Bowl, you got some of the best, the great players there and whatnot. But if you got an eye on the future, I think Mobile is where you end up this week.
And there was a lot of media down there as well. It's a whole, you know, kind of like high school recruiting, this college draft picking is its whole industry right now. And so you had a lot of media members and a lot of GMs trying to figure out, you know, who they can get on their boards. This is the time, you know, you have the combine and the guys will all be out running around in spandex. That's not football.
Yeah.
So they like to see these guys play football, get coached. And that was the difference this week. Talking to Thomas Dimitroff, you talked about those decisions, and they're going to have to make them with the free agents, especially, you know, Vic Beasley, Devondre Campbell, and Austin Hooper, who is at the Pro Bowl this week. And those are going to be, you know, some positions of need if they let those guys walk, and maybe not, but, you know, they had some edge rushers down there. Probably not the big names. I saw, you know, A.J. Epenesa is the guy in the latest mock draft I saw for the Falcons who would be going there. He's a junior. He's going to go way before a lot of these edge rushers who were at the Senior Bowl go, but
right,
you know, could be another possibility for some depth there for the Falcons.
That's the thing you watch. I guess you go and you watch for the guys you know you can get, and then it's ideal to watch for the guy who might fall to you. And, I mean, I guess it's never too early to start doing that. You still haven't seen what they would do in their pro days and at the combines. But you have to kind of think that way if you're making your list and you're at an event like this. So, I mean, it's a lot. You kind of want to see everybody. You don't want to miss anybody.
Right. These are going to be – a lot of these guys will be third, fourth round guys, but that's where you've got to find your value. That's where you've got to find your next Grady Jarrett if you're going to hit big. And especially the Falcons, they need players right now, so they can't afford to miss in those rounds. So definitely got a chance to get some eyes on guys who they'll be looking at come, Saturday of the draft.
Yeah. Spending time with Cody Chaffetz. Once again, he is social. Follow him on Twitter at @Cody_Fox5. A lot of people say this is our first weekend without football. I don't know how you feel about it. Are you watching either one of these games this weekend?
I would probably choose the Senior Bowl over the Pro Bowl again. I'm maybe in both of them for a quarter. It's hard to really get invested for me. It is kind of the first weekend without football. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I suppose. And, the Super Bowl teams arrive down in Miami next week, and then everything kind of kicks in as far as this game that's coming up. You had any thoughts yet about what you think will happen next weekend with those two teams?
The Chiefs, they're the fun pick. I think a lot of people want to go with the Chiefs, but seeing what the 49ers have done on both sides of the ball, it's hard to go against them. I don't know. I'm going to go Pat Mahomes. I'm going to go with the fun story, the fun quarterback.
And that's the way I'm falling with it, too. I like that. And the story about the coach. Who's been there for a while. We got a guy we followed at Georgia, and Mecole Hardman, who's there, who's just stepped right in, and it's like he's played with that team for years. He stepped in this year. He's had a phenomenal rookie season.
Yeah, and I think there was a lot of people when he decided to leave Georgia early. What are you thinking, man? What do you think? No, he's so explosive. He's right there with Tyreek Hill. Both of those guys just shot out of a cannon every time they get the ball.
That, to me, is fun, and that's the thing I'm looking forward to seeing a week from tomorrow at the Super Bowl. But until that, we do have football. We got some football later on today and more. But did you bring back any Reese's? Did the Reese's people let you got? You get
the
any sampling of the product?
Flowing a lot down there. So, yeah, I probably had too many. Everybody was saying that New Year's diet, that'll start next week after all the free Reese's run out.
No, then you got the Super Bowl. You're not going to eat everything next Sunday. You gotta wait till after next week.
Yeah, there's gonna be a 7-layer dip, some wing. Yeah, well, the week after next.
There we go. I'll be there with you, Cody. Thanks so much for getting up and spending some time and sharing some of your thoughts from Senior Day, special week for you, your first time there. Thanks so much for sharing it with us this morning.
Always good to talk to you, Sam. Have a good one.
All right, good catching up with you once again, Cody Chaffetz. You can follow him once again on Twitter @Cody. _Fox5 there at the Senior Bowl. And once again, today, we got things happening here in town at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Hey, there's something going on there. No, they're not playing football, but if you're a fan of HBCUs and HBCU bands, that is happening today. You might say it's a game day for them, huh? Because they're going toe-to-toe. It's the 17th annual Honda Battle of the Bands. Some of the best, like I said earlier, folks, the fact that the Grambling Band and the Florida A&M Band were there, that's worth the price of admission. I don't know how much they're charging for tickets for this thing. It starts at 3 o'clock, but the Florida A&M Band and Grambling Band are there. Add to that Tennessee State, Jackson State, you got Hampton, North Carolina A&T, Benedict, and Prairie View. Those are the 8 bands that will entertain you. So if you like marching bands and you like them HBCU style, we got it. It's an event that people look forward to each and every year going on over at Mercedes-Benz Stadium later on today. 3 o'clock. Battle of the Band. I don't know who you with. I don't know if you listening and watching and listening. You got one that you love to watch and one that's your favorite. Yeah, text me. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. Let me know if you got a favorite, Or you can give me a call, too, 404-741-0929, to talk about which ones you think are going to be the best of the day. I can tell you which one I think when we come back. We're going to talk about that and more as we head for the top of the hour. Willie P. ready to take over then. You stay with us here on this Saturday morning here on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Welcome back to Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you. We're going to up to the top of the hour. Top of the hour, Willie P. is going to join us. And, of course, you heard earlier, just a little while ago and earlier, this is Game Bowl Saturday. Game Bowl Saturday, not Sunday, but Game Bowl Saturday. It is the big event coming up later on today out at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs and Roswell. Big competition, a lot of fun, and we expect to see you. Come on out and join in with us. Be there from 5 until 11 tonight. Should be a lot of fun. And the whole crew is going to be there.
Nice job. I'm still looking at the window here. I think they dropped some stuff on our cars. I'm quite litigious. They don't know that yet.
That's amazing what's going on outside the window, folks.
I want to ask you a question, though.
Yep.
I came in here because I was looking at some comments from Gino Auriemma.
Mm-hmm.
And on the college level only, We know that the coaches, they're paramount in college. Inmates run the asylum on the pro level, but on the college level, it's all about the coaches.
Yeah.
When a program loses a coach that has a – it's a part of a big rivalry, is that rivalry gone or put on the back burner? It just doesn't have the intensity. And the reason I'm thinking about this is because the Tennessee-UConn rivalry used to be something before we lost Pat Summitt.
Yeah.
Now, you kind of think when you think of UConn, you think maybe Baylor.
Baylor, Notre Dame,
is that
South Carolina.
Is that the number one in women's college basketball right now?
What's that?
UConn-Baylor?
UConn, probably so. Some may say them and Baylor or them and Notre Dame. Stanford's having a strong season, but as far as programs that are always around there, and Tennessee's kind of dropped to the next level. You know, I mean, they got the great tradition. They still recruit great talent. They played this week, and it was a game for the first half.
Right.
In the second half, UConn just pulled away.
I say that because it's interesting, and that is the case, because Pat Summitt is no longer with us, and her angst back and forth. I think Geno's the one who actually, you know, he's the one who's always poking a stick in the cage, right? So that made that rivalry between those two special. She's gone. It lost its luster. It has lost its luster. We can agree with that.
Yeah.
And Baylor has ascended. But for the crazy part, the crazy thing, though, is I don't think that will ever be the case. And I think it's because of the distance between the two schools with North Carolina and Duke. I just don't.
As far as what? As far as
the rivalry, because we're talking, again, on the college level.
Okay.
Okay, so if we switch it from women's to, because I believe there are other men's programs on the college level that if that coach is gone, like say when Bobby Knight was coaching.
Okay.
All right, Indiana, a bunch of rivalries, you know, and then when he left the stage, they weren't as big. And there's been some other college coaches, but North Carolina, Duke, that's always going to be a thing. I think that Ohio State and Michigan, regardless of the coaches, is always going to be a thing.
Yeah.
There are some that will sustain despite the coaches, but there are some the coaches make the rivalry.
Oh, true.
And I think it was just something I was thinking about because this is the first time I really heard Geno Auriemma really wax on about missing Pat Summitt. And so and it got me thinking about that. And that personality, and I can't even think of the Baylor coach. I know. Was the one that's Missy McGrath? Is that the North Carolina coach?
Yeah. No.
I mean, Notre Dame?
Notre Dame.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it was just something that you wonder how you keep these things going past the coaches and their time that's there.
Yeah.
Like I said, the North Carolina one, that's an easy one. They're what? So many miles apart from each other.
Well, I mean, you have the changes. You had the changes in
Duke.
You had the changes in coaches in North Carolina. You've had Coach K there for a very long time.
That's what I mean. But it's still a thing.
Oh, obviously,
it's still a thing. We've seen the coaches changes at Ohio State, Michigan. I'm just bringing up the obvious ones, but there's others, you know, more regional ones. I remember when people would fight me down here if they talked about anything other than Florida State. For the longest time when Bobby Bowden was there.
Right.
Now.
Right.
You know
now,
what I mean?
Florida State.
And then what will happen? By the way, who is Alabama's rival?
You know,
beside
Auburn.
Auburn. But that's just a state thing.
Yep. And state. Yep. People in Alabama tell you that's all that matters.
Why isn't that the case here with Georgia Tech?
Because we got other stuff to do. You asked me that question. Okay. I'm a native of Alabama, and I can say, because we got other stuff to do. They don't have anything else to do over there. That's an easy question. You got another one? That's true. That's true. And a lot of times you're right. The coaches do take on the persona and the personality of a rivalry, and you look forward to seeing that coach. You look to see, you know, what they do on the sidelines or what they're doing on the bench. Or the ones who are very animated, that they make a big part of the rivalries that we love to see in sports, and whatever sports. It could be in baseball. You know, I remember when the Braves and were in the West, the National League, but we loved it when the Dodgers would come to town because the fans loved to boo Tommy Lasorda. Every time he would come out of the dugout, the boos would just cascade down in old Fulton County Stadium. It's something we look forward to. But, I mean, it makes the college rivalries and some even, you know, when things get a little heated. My goodness, this week, Kansas State. Hello. That was a bit much. And at the end of the game, too. A lot of suspensions handed out for that. It's a pretty ugly sight, but that's a rivalry. And little things can get things triggered, and some people don't keep calmer, cooler heads prevail. You end up with a pretty ugly scene, like what you saw at the end of that basketball game. And unfortunately, some players going to end up having to sit and watch from the sideline for that. That's That's when a rivalry goes sideways, you know, and a couple of great coaches, obviously great programs, they both are, but having to deal with something this week that was a little less than pleasant, you know. But that's what we watch for and watch for college basketball. By the way, college basketball coming up later today, and we talked about Georgia Tech being at home. 4 o'clock, they are home against NC State. Tech at 8-11 now on the season, trying to get back in the win column. This is an NC State team that they beat to start the season. See if they can get a win today and kind of right the ship. Georgia is home at 5:30 against Ole Miss. Georgia now at 11-7 on the year. Georgia State on the road playing in Statesboro. It's the battle of State, not Southern. Georgia Southern at 12-8. Georgia State at 13-7 is the battle for second place in the Sun Belt. That's coming up later on today. Mercer's on the road at VMI, 1 o'clock start time. Kennesaw State is home at 4:30 against Jacksonville, the Owls are. And, of course, we mentioned AU Center. We mentioned the Battle of the Bands. But if you want some basketball over in the AU Center today, it is rivalry weekend. It is Clark Atlanta and Morehouse, a 3 o'clock start for that one. If you want to, in a big week for Morehouse. Morehouse is playing. They play in Clark Atlanta. And then Tuesday night, they're going to come over to McCamish, and they're going to play Georgia Tech. So Morehouse playing the campus rival today at 3 o'clock. And Tuesday night, they're going to take the short ride over to McCamish, and they're actually going to play against Georgia Tech midseason coming up. That's coming up with them this week. You want to watch out for that. You want to catch some local basketball, get out and see them. Of course, the team from the AU Center doing some work out today in a big game. If you're going to go over to that matchup at Morehouse, you want to get there early. I've been to that game a few times, and they got so many people in there, and they stop letting folks in. So if you're going, go early for a 3 o'clock start over there. We also mentioned that later on today, we talked about the third round coming up today out of Torrey Pines. See if Tiger can make a move. Saturday's usually moving day. He's 6 shots off the lead. Shot a 71 yesterday. He's at 4 under par. Ryan Palmer leads that event. He's at 10 under with Brant Snedeker 2 shots back. Palmer a 62 yesterday. Of course, Torrey Pines, of course, the Tiger knows very well, has won there 8 times. And he's currently tied with Sam Snead with 82 tour wins. So if he's going to make a move this week, let's see if he can do something today and something else to watch for. Since we say we don't have football, we got this happening. And then we got tennis later on today. Coco Gauff will play her 4th round match at the Australian Open. That's something else to watch for. There's her amazing rise on the tennis circuit. And she's going to be playing against Sophia Kennan, another American. She's the 14th seed. That's coming up later on today if you're going to watch. And maybe this evening this time if you watch. I keep forgetting. It's daytime there. It's nighttime here. It's the next day. Remember that when you're watching the Australian Open. But that's what's coming up with Coco Gauff. You've been following her rise as she plays, continues to play into the second week, down under. All right. Willie P coming up at the top of the hour. But before we do that, one more chance for you to get some cash in your pocket. It's called the Casting Call. It's coming up next on Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99TheGame.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.